Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
In 2005, researchers at UCLA found that the brain processes social rejection using the same neural circuitry as physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
Being rejected, not belonging,
mm-hmm.
isn't just uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Neurologically, exactly like being hit. Now imagine carrying that hurt for years.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine a love that, when it finds you, it specifically targets the wound.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a music we'd like to play for you, How He Loves Us by David Crowder Band. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.
Okay, apologies for that glitch. Okay, welcome to A Meaningful Life, ROFM 92.7. I'm Kinney Vermeulen, and I've got my wonderful co-host here.
I'm John, and so we are going to go for episode number 2 in our series on the love of the Lord, of course. And so what we're going to talk about today is very powerful, of course. Love that heals what hurt you. Yes. And we're going somewhere that a lot of conversations don't go. We're going into shame tonight. Not guilt, but shame. There's a difference, and that difference matters more than most people realize. And so we are going towards the anatomy of shame, why shame is the real crisis. So here's the distinction I want to draw right at the top. Guilt says I did something wrong. Mm-hmm. Shame says I am wrong.
That's not a small difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between I made a mistake and I am a mistake.
Exactly. And here's why it matters so much. Guilt can be resolved by making something right. But shame attaches to your identity. It says there is something fundamentally defective about me, something I need to hide.
And the fascinating thing is the Bible opens with this story in Genesis 3, which is the fall. And what's the first thing Adam and Eve do after they ate the fruit?
They hide.
Yes. They cover up.
Mm-hmm.
They cover up. Does that sound familiar?
And then here's the moment I think is one of the most underrated verses in the whole Bible. God comes into the garden. He knows what happened. He is God after all, and his words are not accusation, not judgment, not you've disqualified yourself. His first words were, where are you.
God is not prosecuting the hiding person.
Mm-hmm.
God is pursuing the hiding person. That is a completely different posture.
Exactly. Imagine, let's say, a father or a mother looking for their child.
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah, right? So they haven't arrived home at the normal time.
Mm.
And so the father gets worried about them.
Mm.
And so they look for the child. Mm. And when they find the child, obviously for a loving father, it's a relief. And the child might have experienced something that we don't know. But at the same time, if you're going to look at the attitude of the father, he would diligently look for his son. And the love of God, agape, remember, unconditional, is always the love that looks for the hiding person first. And so if we're going to look at Luke chapter 15, verse 20 from the New Living Translation, it is an excerpt from the prodigal son parable. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. In Middle Eastern culture, a man's status running was considered undignified. And all his splendor, robe, you know, all the jewelry maybe, because he's very rich, It's considered undignified if a man runs. The father sacrifices his dignity to reach his son first. God doesn't wait for you to clean up. He runs to the mess.
What love, huh?
Uh-huh.
He ran. He didn't send a representative.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't wait for a clean version of his son to show up. He ran to the pig mud version.
Yeah, smelly.
Yeah.
Right? Far from how his son looked like before or smelled like before.
Yes.
And that is the love that heals shame. Because shame says, if they knew the real me, they'd leave me. And the father says, I already know, and I'm running towards you.
Mm.
According to Brené Brown, shame is the most powerful master emotion. It's the fear that we're not good enough.
Yeah. There's always that feeling in all of us. Many occasions in our lives, we always have the feeling of we're not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how, you know, consumerism actually takes hold of that psychology of a person. Mm. You're not good enough. So you are seeing yourself to be having gaps in your life, where in fact the reality is there is no gap actually. And sometimes you don't feel that you are appreciated, or they don't accept who you are, the way you look, the way you speak. So you resort into solutions that the world actually provides, because you want to hide the shame.
Mm.
Because you think that there is fundamentally wrong with you. And so, just like Filipinos, we don't like our nose. We want a nose job, you know? It's Filipinos, they don't like their height, most often than not, right? Because we are relatively short in terms of the world average.
Yes.
And so, sometimes it becomes a shame for us. But, you know, there are advantages. The Lord actually made you the way you are intentionally. You look that way, your height is that way, you are programmed that way, because God intentionally did that.
And the good thing is the assurance of being loved makes you feel you're good enough, even if you have flat nose. like indeed, I could say, proudly say, my husband, one of the reasons why he loved me, said, when he has the 100 reasons list, included in that one was, I love your flat nose.
I never
loved my flat nose. I wanted to indeed have an operation.
Yeah, and that's the way actually the world dictates us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is false. The Lord does not accuse us, but the world accuses us.
Mm-hmm.
And so shame is a very powerful master emotion. Can you read what Timothy Keller said?
Yes, he said, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever did believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope.
Oh, that's so true.
That's the Timothy Keller in the meaning in his book, The Meaning of Marriage.
Yeah.
We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope.
Yeah. And because of shame, we have a skewed view of who we are. Mm. And so when we look in the mirror and see ourselves, you know, metaphorically or practically, so there are always flaws that we see.
Mm.
And there are people who actually will say to us things that we cannot believe because we have believed this lie.
Mm.
And so when, just like what you said about Leon, you know, you had a different opinion about how you look. And, you know, Leon said, you know, I love you the way you are. And so from the experience that I had talking to people, they just don't know how good they are.
Mm.
Because we chose to believe a lie.
That's right. Because we always believe that, especially for women. We always believe that a nice nose is better than a flat nose. Nice nose. I even say that, a nice nose.
Yeah.
Because a nice nose is a long nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
And being brown, being white is better than being brown.
Yeah. And if you go deeper, let's say in intrinsically, not externally. So if you go deeper, you just say that you're not good enough because you're not smart enough.
Mm.
Maybe you're not patient enough. You don't believe in the capabilities that you have, and therefore you undervalue yourself. And that's why some people in the corporate setup, they would think that they are worth lower than the average market annual salary is. And so that's how shame actually destroys our identity, the way we should be looking at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, you see yourself to be defective when there's shame versus guilt, wherein you see that there was something wrong that you have done and you can actually remedy it.
Correct it. Yes. Yes.
So just try to imagine that, Kini. And a lot of people they want to create that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
They want to pretend that they are this person. Well, in fact, there is something intrinsically happening in their lives that perhaps they just want to compartmentalize, put in a box and set aside,
mm-hmm.
instead of taking it out of the box and just confronting it.
Dealing with it.
Yeah.
So, John, I want to do something that might be a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask our listeners a question that most people never get asked in a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what are you hiding?
Yeah, not from us, of course, but from God. And this is the room that we should let God in, but we do not allow Him to get in because of the thing that we want to hide. And obviously, there's no secrets with God, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we think that we can actually hide behind that curtain or behind that room or behind that door.
Yes. So think about this. What's the room in your inner life that you've convinced yourself God either doesn't see? Or worse, would reject you for?
Mm-hmm.
The addiction, the anger, the doubt, the thing you did 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
the way you talk to yourself, the secret.
You know, because here's the thing, you know, Jesus once met a woman at a well. She'd had 5 husbands. She was living with a man who wasn't her husband. She came to the well at noon, and no one else was there because she was ashamed to be seen. Jesus knew all of it before she said a word.
Yes. And His first move wasn't to confront the sin.
Mm-hmm.
It was to offer her the living water.
Mm-hmm. That is just an amazing encounter if you're going to look at it the way people reacted to her. And one of the reasons why she went to the well during noontime, because there was shame in her life.
She didn't want people to see her.
Yeah, or people might, you know, want to avoid her at the same time. That was her experience. But, you know, that was an amazing encounter because Jesus never judged her, though she knew what was happening in her life, because eventually she found out from Jesus, because Jesus actually told her. But being known completely and still offered grace, that's not normal love. That's agape.
I wish we could just easily do that. So I want to ask you something. Text us if you want. You know John's number?
Yeah, it's 027-341-7908 if you are in Australia or in New Zealand. If you have a WhatsApp application, you can text me via that number. Or you can actually pop us a message in our Meaningful Life Facebook account.
That's right. And if you know us, we're friends, you could easily just send us a text on Messenger. So, I want to ask you something. What is the thing that you've never brought to God because you assumed the answer would be rejection?
No, that's a very powerful question. So folks, if there's any thought that you would like to share, that's going to be very, very awesome. I would like to be vulnerable right now, Kinin. I'm going to answer that question. But this happened to me a wee while back. And so one of the things that I thought or I assumed that God would not answer me because I thought God rejected me was the act of impregnating my girlfriend during that time, which is my wife now. And so we were both in church. We committed fornication, and I thought we were disqualified from everything, the ministry, our predestination, because we made that foolish mistake. When we were very young, I was turning 21 during that time, and my girlfriend, who is my wife now, was about, I think, 19 at that stage. And so there was a lot of shame. There was a lot of things that we did not want to do.
Were you Christians then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were part of a church. I'm actually part of the youth group. She was part of the worship ministry. And we used the church as a mask, as a smoke.
Yeah.
To hide our sin. So normally what happens after church, we go wherever we want to go. And so that was very, very, very shameful. But, you know, we needed to understand what is God's position. So we just needed to confess. And so we I told my parents one-on-one, and I went with her when she told her parents, and then we went to our pastor. And so we were fearing the worst from our parents, knowing that they're both conservative, her parents, my parents. It was really amazing because they just said, what are your plans now? It's done. And we're quite excited. We're going to have a grandchild through you guys. And so you have to plan out what's going to happen. And so that was really amazing. And when I went to my pastor during that time, he did not even discipline me. He did not actually suspend me from ministry. He just said that, you know, if you want to pause for a while, that's fine. But, you know, thank you for coming forth, you know, making this a reality. And so we... Before we went to our pastor, we already made a decision that we're going to get married. And we already had the date in mind because of the support that we experienced from our family. And so during that time, you know, just everything was just removed the weight.
You must have felt so guilty.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely. So shamed.
Oh,
yeah. In the beginning, yeah.
Full of shame.
Because you were hiding something.
Yeah. And well, you cannot hide the... The pregnancy of anyone, you know, eventually that
will show.
Yeah. I think we confessed to our parents month two, and to our pastor month three, because we needed to sort out with our families first what we wanted to do.
Yeah,
and then we told our pastor, "This is our plan." Blah blah blah, and the rest is history. But that was one of the things that was very shameful. And now, 180-degree turnaround, because I can use that as an example of how the power of God's love redeems you, mm-hmm. and how God is a God of fresh starts or second chances. I don't want even to call it second chances. Maybe fresh starts will be a better one. And because of that experience of mine, that elevated my relationship with God, and mm-hmm. I understood from experience.
Yes, that's right. The feeling of shame, and indeed. So it becomes you become authentic because you have gone through that process. Yeah.
And so right now, we're not ashamed admitting that. We are telling, we're advocates for, no sex before marriage. Avoid as much as possible sexual intimacy while you are still young. And so we were able to see successes in our church during that time. And so after that testimony and how we lifted up our young ones in, mm-hmm. in church, well, there were still some misses. So mm-hmm. there were still some couples who actually went the way we went, which is absolutely wrong. But I am so proud of those people who actually waited until they got married.
Yeah.
And there were a lot, more than the people who actually made a mistake.
Yeah, because it's always a challenge, especially in the Western culture as well.
Yeah. And so that's very powerful. So, like, you know what Psalm 103 verse 12 from the New Living Translation says, He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. It's like my experience, because I felt that way. East and west have no convergence point. It's like a circle, right? Unlike north and south, which meet at the poles. David is describing infinite directional removal. Not covered, not managed, but removed the sin, including the shame.
Yeah, that's actually a really good analogy, John.
Yeah.
As far as the east is from the west, mm-hmm. there's no convergence. No. Whereas with the north and south, there is a convergence. It's like a circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because you meet at the poles when you have a north and south thing. And so that's really very beautiful, Kenny.
Yes.
Why don't you read Zephaniah?
Zephaniah 3:17 mm-hmm. with the New Living Translation version. Mm-hmm. For the Lord your God is living among you. Mm-hmm. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. Mm-hmm. With His love He will calm all your fears. Mm-hmm. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs.
Ah, wow.
So God is not grimacing at you. Mm-hmm. He is singing over you. Mm-hmm. This is almost too much for many people to receive, which is why it needs to be said.
Yeah, and because we are so used to the programming of the world, we just cannot believe that there is such a love like that exists, mm-hmm. and a God who actually is merciful and graceful, compassionate, that He wants us to be redeemed. If you're going to compare it with the other gods, if you're going to understand, the demands of the other gods is worship, sacrifice, even sometimes, human sacrifice, mm-hmm. not necessarily just animal sacrifice. But God does not require us to get in favor or to get on His side that we need to sacrifice anything. No, we just need to show up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Show up, trust, and obey.
Yeah. That's very powerful. And so if you're going to look at Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection, she says that shame thrives in secrecy and is dissolved by empathy. Being known and accepted despite vulnerability is a primary mechanism of shame healing. This is precisely what the love of God offers. Mm-hmm. And so Brené Brown, a very famous,
vulnerability author.
Yeah. Right? Wow. Expert in empathy. Mm. You're going to look at what she studied and what she actually wrote, you would be able to see that it actually is equivalent to the love of God, the emphatic love of God, the agape level love of God. And if you would just accept that offer of God, you will definitely experience healing.
Mm. And I like that where it said shame thrives in secrecy and is dissolved by empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Because if you keep the shame in secret, it mm-hmm. will eat you up.
Definitely.
But if you share that shame and there is someone empathetic mm-hmm. with you on that shame, mm-hmm. then it lightens up the burden.
Yeah. If you're going to go back to the book of James chapter 5, he said that confess your sins to one another so that you will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually an amazing thing. And if you're going to look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, you know, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So there's the cleansing and the healing promise mm-hmm. of God. One is when we confess to him, there's a cleansing, and one is confessing to, of course, people you trust in church, mature individuals whom you can share the sin and the shame that you have done. And so when you speak that out and you are involved in people who are loving and caring for you, you experience the healing touch of God. Not necessarily because you just confessed it, but because that's the promise of God.
Mm.
So you are.
We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins
yeah.
and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Because it takes courage to confess.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, then you get the reward of it.
Yeah, that is so true. And that's what shame does. We tend to hide it mm. and not to have the courage or the fearlessness to say those things.
Mm.
And so you would see a person who is dysfunctional, bringing that dysfunctionality to a relationship and creating a dysfunctional family and having dysfunctional children. And you see that that type of shame perpetuates over generation until somebody breaks it. Somebody receives Christ as Lord and Savior, receives that healing touch from the Lord. And then all of a sudden you would see a difference in the way that person who became born again lives versus the rest of his or her ancestry line or his or her family lineage.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Because and for us in the believers, we know that it takes God's love for us to be totally healed.
Who in their right mind would say that they will be able to find healing from another source, complete healing, maybe healing for a time, but you go back to the shame? But God's healing based on his love will lead you to accept the situation and receive the redemption of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know that you are accepted, you know that you are forgiven, and you know that you are healed. And above all else, you know that you are loved.
Mm. And also the humility to receive it.
Because
a lot of people do not really, may not have that humility. Don't believe it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, even believers. I think because of the shame, they're too afraid of admitting what they have done, but they don't know what's on the other side of the door.
Mm-hmm.
If so, you open the door for confession, it gives you healing. And so the exchange is not even equal to the effort that you exerted, because what you receive is beyond what you have done or what you have believed.
That's right.
It opens so many doors of opportunities, makes you understand who you are in the light of God.
Yeah, how he sees you.
Yeah. And so we don't hate our noses anymore as Filipinos or our complexion.
Actually love it now. FMRI studies on rejection, which is the University of California, Los Angeles, 2003. Social rejection activates the same brain region as physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
Being loved activates the reward center and reduces cortisol.
Oh, yeah.
The love of God literally changes your biochemistry.
Yes. When you know that you are loved, it actually protects you. It becomes a shield because neurologically you are attuned to that level of agape love. So you will be able to distinguish, let's say, erotic love, phileo love, or even storge love, familial love.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, because you find agape to be the ultimate form mm-hmm. of love, what happens to you with your interaction, you are able to discern people who will be after maybe your money, after friendship. And you will be able to distinguish people who would like to add value to your life or help you out in what you are, you know, trying to pursue. And so that's how powerful the love of God is, because you are able to protect yourself from people who might abuse you, take advantage of you.
Yes.
But when you have that level of love, it's going to be amazing. And imagine they were doing the MRI scan while the participants were experiencing this level of love. I mean, it just shows.
In your brain.
Yeah. And imagine it reduces your cortisol. So you feel less stressed. You might be busy, you might be tired, but you're not stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're experiencing stress, it's the right level of stress that makes you productive.
And you're not anxious.
Oh, yeah.
It's that one. Being anxious. Like you're going through challenges and all that. You're going through, things may not have gone the way you'd like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then you know that because you are standing on God's love, then nothing can really shake you.
Oh,
because there is a reason why He allows those things to happen.
Yeah. And you are able to trust Him with more things because you know that He is reliable. Mm. His character, He is a promise keeper, He is a deliverer, He is a healer, He is a God who gives wisdom, He is a God who blesses us. And so if you think about that, healing from shame on the basis of agape, it's just a prayer away. It's just a decision away. And so folks, if you're listening, we'd like to encourage you to grab on to that opportunity, because God is offering that to you today. If you are feeling shameful of what you have done before, and that is eating you up, it has caused you problems personally or relationally, you know, we would like to encourage you to receive the healing of God's love today.
Yes. The courage to confess whatever is that secret that you're hiding, confront it, and receive God's healing.
Yeah.
How about the post-traumatic growth research, John?
Oh.
Tell us about it.
So according to this, remember, we normally have traumas in our lives. And, you know, that's why PTSD is like a very popular acronym.
What does it mean again,
PTSD? Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Ah.
So after the trauma, you have stress and it disorders your life,
right.
And so,
post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so what happens to you is that particular trauma in your life will always affect you moving forward. So you're not able to be free from that experience or that memory or the pain that coincided with that. And so this is very important. Remember, God loves us without condition. Consistent love is the single greatest predictor of recovery from shame-based identity wounds. And so beyond the love of person who is actually helping you out overcome this shame experience or shame-based identity wounds, it's God. And it's not therapy alone. You've got to have a source of love. A direct source of love. And normally we would resort to a person. But sometimes a person's love is conditional.
Yeah. Or it's not good enough. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not enough to get you over the hump.
To get you over the hump. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's deeper. Yeah. Especially if the wound is deep. Yeah.
That is so true, Kenny. And so it's not willpower. It's love received consistently. That's why if you're going to look at John, the beloved, the way he wrote the gospel books, he normally refers to himself in third person, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so he knew the value of knowing that Jesus loved him. And so he had a different form of death compared to the other 11 disciples that were trained by Jesus. And so if you're going to look at how powerful that truth is, you know, you can say that as your mantra.
Yeah.
God loves me.
God loves me. Yeah. Nobody can harm me. God loves me. Nobody can hurt me.
Yeah.
God loves me. Yeah.
And there's so much power in the spoken word. And remember, according to the Bible,
I am enough.
Oh, yeah, that is so true. We have the power of life and death in our tongue.
In our tongue, yes.
Yeah. Amazing.
True, right? True. Okay, so we have some engagement questions.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is, what's the story you tell yourself about why you're not quite lovable? When did that story start?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Second one, John, for you.
So if the father ran to the prodigal, what does God running toward you actually look like in your week? I have a good experience. So that could be God leading you away from a mistake. So you know that you have been making that same mistake. Because I heard this testimony from one of my church members back home. And so he knew that he's going to make a mistake. But all of a sudden, before he made that mistake, he experienced the hand of God preventing him from making that mistake. And that mistake could have cost him his relationship with his wife. And so that's one of the things that, you know, I can share with you guys, and that is God running toward you. So you will not do something shameful and regret it.
We really have to be mindful of the actions that we do, isn't it? And the words that we say as well.
That is so true.
And sometimes because of anger, for example, we could say words that we don't really mean.
Oh.
Yeah. And we just say it, even if it could probably hurt the other person. Yeah.
And then you feel shame or your guilt.
Oh, you feel guilty.
But, you know, words are negative words that we receive. It's really more powerful than a slap on the face. Physical experiences that hurt you, you can recover quickly. But words, no, it just pierces through the heart.
That's right.
I remember I was having this discussion with one Christian, and we were, you know, just discussing about what bothers you today. Because it was a safe space, this Christian shared something when he was 5 years old.
5 years old?
Yeah, that continued to bother him.
At wow. That moment. And how old is he?
And during that conversation?
Yeah.
He was, I think, close to 40s.
Wow, so he's been carrying it for 35 years.
Exactly. And he did not know how to go about receiving healing. And so that was something that was very powerful, because that's question number three for you. Shame makes us hide. What have you been hiding? Hmm. And what it cost you? What would cost it cost you to stop? And so that particular experience, remember, the story was 5 years old, this person experienced something very shameful, going towards 40-ish of age, late 30s, that still bothered him.
Mm.
And though he was a Christian, he did not understand how to receive the healing of God's love. Mm-hmm. But that moment, he was able to receive it.
Mm. Yeah. It's always really good to remember, as far as the east is from the west.
Yes.
I have thrown away your sins.
Yeah, you have to remember that very powerful verse from the book of Psalm, of course.
Yes. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Psalm 103, verse 12. So are you ready to do a prayer, Kenny?
Yes, yes.
Excellent.
I am.
Yeah. Here and so, folks, remember the healing power of God's love is available to you today. You don't need to experience or relive that shame or hide from that. You can face it and receive God's healing today.
Yes. Let's pray this together as we experience God's healing in our lives. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with open hearts, some weary, some wounded, some quietly carrying burdens no one else can see. Thank you for your love, a love that never fails, never leaves, never gives up on us. A a love that reaches into the deepest places of our being mm-hmm. and gently restores what is broken. Lord, you see every pain we carry, the hurts from the past, the fears we try to hide, mm-hmm. the silent struggles we endure, our secrets, mm-hmm. and yet you do not turn away. Instead, you draw near. Wrap us now in your presence, O God. Mm-hmm. Let your love flow through our hearts like a healing balm. Mm-hmm. Where there is anxiety, bring peace. Mm-hmm. Where there is sorrow, bring comfort. Mm-hmm. Where there is brokenness, bring restoration. Remind us that we are not alone. Mm-hmm. Remind us that we are held. Remind us that we are deeply, unconditionally loved by you.
Hallelujah.
Teach us to rest in that love, not to strive for it, not to earn it, but simply to receive it. Mm-hmm. May your love heal our minds, renew our spirits, and strengthen our bodies. And as we are healed, Lord, make us instruments of your love, mm-hmm. that we may bring kindness where there is harshness, mm-hmm. hope where there is despair, and light where there is darkness. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, that your love is enough, more than enough. Mm-hmm. We receive your healing today with gratitude and trust. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So we've got a song, John.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this song is called No Longer Slaves mm-hmm. by the Bethel Music. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this will go through. We had technical problems earlier.
There.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. I deliver it from my enemies till all my fears have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. I'm no longer
was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I am a child of God, so I have no fear.
Yes. So we're going to move towards our next segment, from shame-driven to love-fueled. So we're going to learn something today.
Yes, so, the learning moments.
Exactly. So movement number one, which we talked about earlier, gave us the theology. Shame is an identity wound, not just an emotional one. And then we moved to a bit personal stuff. We looked at what it actually cost us to keep on hiding. Just like what I mentioned a while ago. So for more than 30 years, this person was hiding because of that shame. And so now, what shifts?
Here's the core shift from shame-driven to love-fueled.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Love-fueled.
Yeah. Let's unpack that, Kenny.
Mm-hmm. So most of us are motivated, whether we know it or not, by avoiding shame.
Mm-hmm.
We work hard, not because we love our work, but because we're scared of being seen as lazy.
Mm-hmm.
We perform in relationships, not from genuine love, but we're scared of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
We come to church sometimes not to encounter God, but to manage our image.
True, true. I mean, we tend to pretend, right? Just like what happened to Adam and Eve, they pretended to do certain things just to avoid the shame of disobedience. And it's exhausting, right, Kenny? It's very, very exhausting if you live like that, because you can never do enough to silence the shame inside of you.
That's true. That's true. But when the love of God reaches the place that you've been hiding, the motivation changes.
Mm-hmm.
You stop working to earn.
Mm-hmm.
You start working from delight.
Mm-hmm.
You stop performing in relationships. You start showing up as your actual self.
Mm-hmm.
And you stop coming to God to manage your image. You start coming to be with Him.
Wow.
That's a really good shift.
Yeah.
Because I think, indeed, if I only come to church because I'm an elder, I need to be there, then that's a really shallow way.
Uh-huh.
Of going to church.
Exactly.
I go to church because I love God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be there to listen to a collective message that's given to the people of God and to be able to fellowship with His people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the practical thing. You can't make the shift by willpower. So it has to be supernaturally imbued to you. Mm-hmm. You make it by exposure, by sitting in the love of God long enough that shame loses its grip, or the shame is just taken away by the love of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the things that you mentioned here, John, where indeed we work hard, not because we want to earn the money, but because we delight in our work, we're adding value.
Mm-hmm.
And when we actually delight in our work, it's easy to add value.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a different mind shift, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because that's your fuel. You are driven by love. And so you would like to see others succeed. And so if you have already passed on through that journey of life on how you can lead others to the success that you have reached, and of course, with the intention that, you know, leading them towards a higher level of success, it's driven by love. And so it comes quite naturally.
Yes.
Yeah. And see what happens. You know, next week, we go forward with episode number 3, the love that shapes your future, because this love doesn't just deal with your past. It writes your future.
Good one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge this week is, find the one area where shame is driving you and bring that thing, specifically that thing, to God.
Mm-hmm.
Not a cleaned up version
or
a brushed version, but the actual thing. So our listeners, if you have something that you'd like to give to God, do it. because he's not waiting for a cleaned up you. Mm-hmm. He's waiting for a messy you. Just like the prodigal son.
Yeah, just remember wherever you are, you know, the Lord will meet you there if you would but respond to him. So there's always an action on our part to respond, because God is just making himself available even right now. As folks are listening either live today or on demand, they know that this message is for them. And so I encourage you guys, just do it. Just surrender that shame to the Lord. And you will see yourself very differently.
Yes, because God loves us. Mm-hmm. As we are. Yes. I like that verse in the Bible where he said, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He is intentional. He initiates, actually, in giving grace, giving love, and showing the way. Mm-hmm. All we need to do is to respond. And there is nothing that will be detrimental when we obey God. Nothing lost when we obey God, but so much to gain, especially healing from shame.
Yeah. And he pursues us.
Yeah.
But what he needs from us is really more our humility, our trust, that whatever is happening in our lives at the moment, which may be hurting, which may be challenging, there is a reason why he allowed that to happen. Yeah. Maybe to discipline you. Mm-hmm. Maybe to teach you to be humble. Mm. Maybe to let you know more that you shouldn't be depending on yourself, mm-hmm. but should always be dependent on his grace.
Yeah, that's so true.
So, we're looking forward to the next episode, as John mentioned, the love that shapes your future. Mm-hmm. Because this love doesn't just deal with your past, it writes your future.
Mm-hmm.
So there is always something exciting. And this is the reason for this program, for us to be more aware of the kind of life that we could have in God's love.
Ah, awesome, yeah. And so here's a question no one asks in church. What if your good behavior is actually a shame management strategy? What if you're not following God? You're hiding from God through religion. There's a name for that in the Bible, the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son. And Jesus says he was outside the party too.
That sounds exciting. He was outside the party too.
Yeah, he was complaining, right? So thank you, folks, for listening to A Meaningful Life on Arrow FM 92.7. Remember, we are available later on tonight at Wairarapa TV, channel 41, if I'm not mistaken. So you can watch us on demand going through the website or through the Wairarapa TV app.
Yes, channel 41.
Yeah.
So same time next Friday from 5 o'clock to 6. And until then,
you were made to survive love. You were made to be transformed by it.
Amen.
So goodbye for now and see you next week, guys.
Yes, this is Kenny Vermeulen signing off, and thank you for being with us for the whole hour.
Thank you so much, and this is John. We will see you again next week.
Okay, bye for now.